I'm busy loving myself, putting me first. Now that I know I deserve more, I'm busy loving myself, putting me first. Made up my mind, I'm on my grind. My time to shine, you hit my line. I press decline, no time for that. I'm moving forward and right now. You're in my past, I've come too far to turn back now. Not going back, I see that everybody's sleeping on me. They really gotta see it to believe.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of I Love Me More, period, podcast.
Yes, period, poo.
Me, Tara Wallace, and
me, Dr. Jamila T. Davis.
We've just been having some amazing shows.
It's been just really, really, really continuing the healing self-care journey. Mm-hmm. I'm just loving it. I'm loving the people, just the different perspectives. And I hope you guys are loving what you're seeing and hearing.
Yes.
Let us know. Like, subscribe, hit us in the comments, and let us know how you're feeling about I Love Me More, period.
Period. One of the things I love the most about this is that the conversations, when we don't have all the answers, we're making sure that we're saying that. Because it's just, it's like open. We're trying to figure this out as we go.
That's right.
Because some things we've just never been exposed or experienced. We haven't experienced. So
that's right.
I love that part
of
it.
However, we do have the tools.
We have
right?
the tools.
So we're
always
doing a dialogue, but we have the tools.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, when you finish listening, we don't want you to just, okay, that's it, turn off, and we wait until the right. next week. Stay with us. Join our Black Please. Women's Lives Matter community, because in the community, that's where we share our resources, right? Because a lot of us, and you've heard the folks that have been on our show, they're in therapy. We have therapists, right? We have real help. We have question and answer sessions because, like we said, we don't know it all.
And then we have to go back to the very same book that we wrote.
Mm-hmm.
To be motivated, to keep going, to remember some of the things that we need to
remind ourselves, yeah. right? That we love ourselves more. Speaking of loving ourselves more, y'all see our merch?
Yes.
Yes.
And I love a good sweatshirt. I would wear sweatshirts every day, every episode, actually.
But it's really symbolic because our shirts stand as an affirmation, right? I love, and not you, because that's what we've been doing all our lives, right? It was you. Nah, it ain't you no more, bro or sis. It's me.
Me.
Right?
And then
period.
So the end.
Definitely, our merch is super hot. Make sure you check that out. And you can get that where? In our community. BlackWomensLivesMatter.com. And it's so crazy, Tara, because as I'm looking at you, right? And this is my friend, y'all. In real life, Tara is my friend. And right. today, you can see our different styles, right? We got the same outfit, but we dressed it up differently. I want you to take a look at Tara's shoes. You feel me? And then you see my shoes.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey.
I'm the sneaker girl. And she's the cute, dainty girl. So friends have all different types of ways that they show up, show up for each other. We have different personalities, right? We like different things, but we are still, you know, friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this community about is about, just gathering and loving on your friends. That right? That's okay.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely okay.
Baby, look
okay.
at your little red nail polish. I love it.
You know, I like a little classic red.
I know. And it's so crazy because I love the show because of the balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all know for me, y'all gonna get that super high energy all the time. And then Tara just kind of levels me out a little bit. You know? Jamila, you know, okay. I hear you from that perspective. But, right? So it's different personalities, different things. And I just love that about you because you're unique to who you are. And who you are is such a dope, genuine, loving, caring, compassionate individual that I'm proud to call my friend.
Thank you. You know, I can't, as I'm sitting here and we're interviewing people, sometimes I'm lost in what you're saying. I'm looking at myself. I'm learning as we go. Like I'm blessed. I'm touched. I'm crying. I'm all of these things, the gift that you have. And I think I've told you that from the very first car ride that we ever had, which is you just have this gift to empower people. And they feel like when they finish talking to you, they can do anything. And I don't know where that comes from.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure you know where it comes from, but it touches people. And I don't think you realize on the large spectrum that it touches people and that effect that you have on people.
Thank you. And I just want you to know that your gift is a gift of purity, a gift of innocence, right? And it's so crazy because I met you on a screen of loving hip hop when I was in federal prison, baby. And I had to be the one that I ain't really watching nothing else, but I watched that show. That was my secret pleasure. And mm-hmm. I can remember you going through your circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, yo, sis is strong. Mm-hmm. Cause you stood. And despite what you went through, you never tried to be something that you was not. Mm-hmm. And I respected that about you. It's like, you always remain true to you. You're not like trying to be like someone else. You're just Tara. And mm-hmm. I love Tara.
Tara was broken. Tara was definitely broken.
That's all right.
Yeah. At that time, you know, it was just, I didn't know how to share that. You know, you're going through this on national TV. What's okay to share? What do I want people to really know about me? So I became super guarded in that. Mm-hmm. And I had to work through that.
Mm-hmm.
Work through not just being on TV, but the anger from this person that I loved so much, I loved him so much I wanted to have his kids, you know? Mm. Like, it was like that for me. It wasn't like, this is a mistake. It's like, no, I love this dude. Like, I've never felt like that. I've never dated and finalized that this is what I want from you. So to now have to go and refigure that after I made that, that's my choice. It was very uncomfortable for me. You know, I'm from Mississippi. We're very conservative. I have 8 brothers. So my dad was, you know better. What's happening? I'm like, should you tell me? You know, I had to really go to him and answer some hard questions. Like, dad, like, I would be at work screaming in the bathroom with my dad. Like, you got to tell me what the fuck this is. Like, no more sugarcoating it. What is this? And I think sometimes as women, we don't find that out until we're in it. Because people have told us what we're supposed to have, what it's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. But when you're in it, that's not it.
No, that's real.
Especially when you're out here dating people who are not healed, don't even know that they're traumatizing other people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Since been there, done that, wrote the book, baby. Matter of fact, yeah. We wrote the book.
We wrote the book.
Yo, speaking of our book, right? I know so many people now that are reading it mm-hmm. who are getting so much out of I Love Me More, period, because we're telling that truth. I'm talking about our partners and, you know, just the different situations that we had, the stuff that folks don't talk about.
Right.
Because when you talk to folks, it's always all the good stuff, right? Everything is good. You're doing good. But deep down inside, you broken and you hurt. Nah, sis, we telling you we heard. We went through this. We went through that. And then we giving you the secrets of how we got to the other side.
Right.
Because we are now, you know, at the other side now daily. We're healing. We're working through our pain. And but we're good.
We're good.
That's what's
up.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Yes. I love you more.
Period.
So, yo, how excited about today?
Too.
Are you excited?
I'm extremely excited about today. But I'm always excited because it's always a story we haven't told. It's going to touch someone else, somebody that relates to that person's story in a very different way. So I'm always excited.
And you know what I love about this? Because even the people who've done our show, they've done other shows, but maybe when we talk to them, oh, you're getting something completely different than what everybody else is asking. Because we're getting to the state of their true mental health, their spirit, their mind, their soul, their body. Like, what's going on with you, sis, right? Yeah. So those conversations just make it more interesting because it's like, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Miller, baby. You know, and it's a different side of me. It's a side of me that folks don't usually get, and that's what we give it.
Right.
In the good old love
seat. The good old love seat. Who's going to be on the love seat today?
Baby. My homie. Yo, y'all stay tuned. We got a very, very, very special guest today. An activist who's done some amazing things. A whole world changer. Okay? But I ain't going to give you too much. You got to stay tuned. And you got to listen to this complete episode. All right? So.
And please don't miss the I Love Me More lightning round, okay?
All right, yeah, we got the lightning round today.
We have the lightning round.
Yeah, so we got to go pay some bills. Yep, here's a word from our sponsor. Hello, friends. It's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis, and I have a special announcement. We are finally opening up the Black Women's Lives Matter community. So what does that mean? In real time, we can fellowship with you. We have this platform that we're giving to you for absolutely free. And it's a place where you can learn from other Black women just like you. And we're going to be learning real things, speaking to experts about finances, relationships, fashion, makeup, parenting. You name it, we got it in the community. It's a place that we can fellowship and also heal. We're also going to be having therapy in the community. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about to get off our chest, you know, and we're going to do it in a safe place where we can learn from experts about how to maximize our potential and become the best us that we can possibly be. So what does this mean? It's time to click the link in our bio and join today. It is absolutely free. It costs you nothing. And it will grow you so much, I promise you. So meet me in the community. You get to actually work with me this year. I'm going to be doing some one-on-ones. I'm going to be doing some group work. And it's all about leveling up. Meet me in the community. I'll see you soon. And y'all already know what it is. It's going down.
Welcome back, guys, to I Love Me More, period. We are here with our special guest, Jamila.
Yes, so this is my friend and just a fellow activist, change maker, who has been on this journey of life with us and just learning from her, being inspired by her work and what she does. I felt like she was perfect to bring to the table because we want to talk to some change makers, right? And this is definitely a change maker. So I want y'all to give it up for my friend, Yanasta. Ah, clap it up, y'all.
Hey,
Mo. Welcome.
Thank you all for having me on this amazing show.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you create change on this planet.
I was born into the movement. My grandfather is the Honorable Miss Louis Farrakhan. My mother was Native American activist, Juanetta Lone Wolf. She was a part of the American Indian Movement. I was born during the Longest Walk, which was a protest from Alcatraz, San Francisco to Washington, D.C. So I literally was born in a march in the movement. And so I, just with that, I think that, you know, sometimes I could have went a whole nother route, you know, which I did. I used to rap and all of that, you know, dance on BET and Teen Summit and Soul Train and all of that.
You know, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
I was like, wow. And Teen Summit was one of my favorite shows. And I'm like, they should be doing Teen Summit right now.
We need it now.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I would, you know, the minister said that 1,000 hip hop song. I mean, he said, no, he said 1,000 of his speeches is equivalent to 1 hip hop song.
Oh, wow.
And so I just always was like, man, hip hop, you know, has such a huge impact in regards to change, you know? And so, but I always was incorporating hip hop with organizing and things like that. And I just always felt like you can use culture, hip hop culture, to be able to make a difference. And so, yeah, I did so much from Rate Hip Hop for Flint. Well, I had over 200 homes today still have water filtration systems that take the lead out. I did a huge fundraising concert all on one day called Hip Hop for Flint. Hip Hop for Haiti, similar thing. And so I just basically been on the front line and it hit home for me. A friend of mine, Romaine Brisbane, was murdered by police in Phoenix, Arizona. And I just was like, oh, I'm putting this mic down and I'm just going to go full-fledged into organizing and fighting against police brutality and everything. So
So I want to go back before we go forward.
Yes.
Tell me what was life like growing up for you as a little girl?
It was a lot. My and I think this is where I also really connected with you. Because my mother was a political prisoner. My mother went to prison because they needed, the FBI wanted an informant to go against the Nation of Islam and to go against Minister Farrakhan. And my mother was like, nope. And they said, oh, well, you was on probation from a prior incident. You cannot have a checking account while on probation. So you're going to do 10 years in prison. So they sentenced my mother.
For having a checking.
For having a checking account, because the money was coming from Muammar Gaddafi, the former president of Libya. that he gifted to the Nation of Islam, or loaned to the Nation of Islam to help rebuild the Nation of Islam, which was fine. I mean, it wasn't like it was illegal for that transaction, but they wanted my mother to be an informant. And my mother said no. And so my father was always in and out of prison all of my life. And so when my mother went to prison, Minister Farrakhan adopted me and my brother. Mm. And so my mother's full blood. She was full blood Native American. My dad is Black. I was raised, I was from the womb of a Native American woman, a Native American home. And so, but she could have just easily just raised me to be Native. But the love that she had for my father and for Black people, she was like, no, I'm going to have you around strong men and women, you know, that are Black to learn.
Wait a second. So, and this is the part. Yes. This is when you know your friend but don't know your friend. Right. So you, so Minister Farrakhan actually helped to raise you?
Yes.
Talk about that.
So that was like
what did that look like for you?
That was a cultural shock for me at the beginning. I was about, my mother went to prison at the age of, when I was six. But I didn't know if she went to prison. I was, they told me she was on vacation.
Oh, that's what they do. See, that's another, you know, my friends I was locked up with, like when kids are, they feel like too young or gonna run their mouth because my mommy is in prison. You don't want that. So they say they in school, they say they in the army, and when they go see them, they like, yes, this is the army. So I know all about that. So your mom, they said you was,
she was on vacation.
And why was she just, I'm surprised they said vacation.
It was like, I was like, okay, she's on vacation. So she used to work for Muhammad Ali. She was his public relations director. She was the woman behind the Thriller in Manila, the Rumble in the Jungle. Wow. She was the first Native American to work for NBC. So I always grew up in this environment of mommy going off to work, mommy going. So I was like, oh, mommy's gone again, you know? And then they're like, oh, we'll go visit her. So what happened was, is that the minister was like, I'm taking you and Julio, my brother. And he raised us in Chicago. And it was his daughter, Maria, and her husband, Olive, that raised us. And it was like the Cosby Show. Like literally, and as we still talk about, it was literally the Cosby Show. Like the way that the house was and the environment, it was always just fun. It was so much fun. It was the first time that I ever had a childhood.
Oh, wow.
It was the first time. So when she went, I was there for 5 years, and then she went to a halfway house in Phoenix, Arizona. And
Wait. So we moved past this.
Yeah.
So you were six?
Yes.
Your mother stayed away for 5 years?
Yes.
So she didn't return home until you was 11 years old?
Yep.
Let's talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know your mother has since passed away.
Yep.
But you're a little girl.
Yeah.
And most little girls, they just love their mommy so much.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of effect did your absence for five? Now, I was going for my kids but did you ever question what was going on? Or
I did. I think that what it was like, why can't you come home? Because she was in Fort Worth, Texas, penitentiary in Fort Worth, and very nice. Well, I thought she was in an apartment complex, was just heavily guarded because we went on family days where we would go see her room and everything. And I was like, Mom, why are you living here? Why don't you just come to Chicago? You know? And she was like, oh, I have work to do. So even in prison, I'm thinking like, oh, this is her work. I did not get it.
Oh. But did you ever question like, why is mommy's work coming before me?
It was no. Because ever since I was a child, I always saw
her working.
I always saw her putting the people. I never looked at it because she always balanced it very well. Even when she was on the run from the feds, because she was on the run for a minute. We was in the back of her, on the back of the truck, and she would make this like it was our little, you know, with the blanket and all of that. And we're camping out and just going from place to place.
Oh, this is a movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a movie done on my mother's. So it was like that. It was like, oh, okay, we are just going from place. I didn't know we was on the run from the feds. Only one time. We was in Vegas, and the feds came, and I grabbed my mother just had my brother. But he's 5 years younger than me. I was about, so I was five. and I'm grabbing my other two little cousins. They're babies. I'm the oldest, and I'm taking them into the closet to hide. And because I was just like, they're just coming. This police are coming in. Mm-hmm. And then,
You was five doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Sis, what kind of trauma? That's a five-year-old.
Yeah.
So the five-year-old you is running and protecting the babies from the feds.
Yeah. I grew up fast. And I think that with trauma, I was just in South Dakota last month. This is where my mother's side of the family is. All of the women, all my aunts, are very similar. Went through a lot of trauma. And we just say it and just keep it going. I've never sat in it. Sometimes I do, there's moments, but there's so much of it. You know, I just keep going.
So you was raised by a savior.
Yes. Yes.
That taught you to be a savior.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get
deep. At five.
Because the savior actually ends up becoming the sacrificial lamb. And that's the part that we don't often talk about, right?
Yeah.
When we stand up and, you know, people see you and admire you because you've done so many great things. And we just mentioned a few things that you've been able to create and take, you know, a part of change in. Yeah. But I know others. And I know how when, you know, anything happens, you're the first to run to justice and you're the first to be a friend and you're the first to support and you're the first to donate and you're the first to cheer everybody on.
Yeah.
Right? Despite all of that, you're still hurting. Yeah. And I got to witness that. And that's where we had our bonding moment. And I was like, this is my sister for life, no matter what you go through or what you experience. And I want to unpack some of this because that call to action and that sacrificial lamb thing, you know, let's just talk about your mother first.
Yes.
What happened to your mother?
She passed away of lung cancer. She had small cell carcinoma.
How old was she?
She passed at 54.
54 years old.
She found out at 52.
So now when we go full circle now.
Yeah, I know.
What is your health today?
I'm at stage 4 lung cancer. And I found out at 42. And I'm now 45. Well, no, I'm 45. Yeah. Yeah, and I have non-small cell angiocarcinoma. And this is the crazy thing. I have over 200 cancer tumor cells in both of my lungs. And I met this lady, and she said, that's everything you collected. And just trying to unpack all of that. You know, some people say, you know, your thoughts could cause cancer. You know, all this. And I just, in these past 3 years, have been now for the first time looking at my healing, being present with me. What is it that I have to unpack, you know? I just got news last month that one of the largest cancer tumor cells has shrunk. Mm-hmm. So that was the one that the doctors were worried about, one of the largest ones out of the 200. And I said, okay, all right, God, I'm releasing.
This was so important for me to bring you on. Understanding the history of your mom and then this going back to you, because we often talk about generational curses, people of color, right? And some of the trauma that we've gone through. Yeah. And from mother to daughter, same issue, right? But what we also talked about was the patterns. The mother was the savior, right? Created so much change here on earth. Did so many different things, opened so many different doors for so many people. But then she becomes the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
She's the one that has to be the strong one all the time.
Yeah.
The one that fixes and puts it all together. No, baby, don't cry. I'm at school. Everything is okay. Doing all of those particular things, right?
Yeah.
And then in the end, she's no longer here. And then her baby, who sees her work, who I want to be just like my mommy when I grow up, you begin to do the same accepting, following the same exact patterns. I got to be strong. No, I'm not going to cry. Yeah, that happened yesterday. That was crazy. I'm not going to grieve. I'm going to stand strong. I can deal with this. I can be all things to everybody because I am. But you're really not.
Right.
You're really not. Yeah. The truth is, you're not a savior. You're just human.
That's right.
And you don't have to be.
Yeah.
And you can take care of you. So one of the things that we talked about in that exchange back then was loving on yourself more.
Yeah.
Putting time into your self-care plan, which it looks like you said you've done.
Yeah.
So I want to hear more so about that work.
What's that look
since
like?
Hearing the stage four, we're not talking about one, two, or three. We're talking about what did they tell you? What did they say to you about life expectancy? How did they break that? Like, talk to somebody who...
Let me tell you the deepness of how I found out and the day that I found out. It was December 2019. Everyone is having pre-COVID. At the time, it was pneumonia. And my chest and back was hurting. And I was like, why is my chest and back hurting? So they had me go into the hospital. I went into the ER and they thought I had asthma. And it was like, so they put me on asthma medication. And I'm like, but my chest and back hurt so much. I was in the shower and God put it in my spirit. You have cancer. And I never told this to no one. But you're not going to die from this. This is something that I'm going to put you through. Like, that was what I got. From my prayer. My prayer closet is the shower, you know.
Mine is too.
Man, I swear you begin
so
to suffer.
Much in the shower that just comes.
That water, yep. So I was like, and I broke down crying and I said, well, maybe that's my own thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you second guess, like, is this God, is this me, you know? And so my family was like, go get a second opinion to find out what's in your lungs. And so I did. I went to another hospital, and the other hospital, they was like, we're not going to play with this. Let's just do a biopsy. So now we're in the height of COVID. No one could go with me as they're going into my lungs to get these things that they see in my lungs to do a biopsy. Ahmaud Arbery gets murdered, and we see that. I go down to New Brunswick, and but I'm still not feeling well. So then... a month later, George Floyd. So I'm watching this video of George Floyd, and I'm like, Atlanta, we haven't done any. Everyone's in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do something. So in less than 36 hours, I organized in Atlanta to do a solidarity for George Floyd at the CNN building. So I'm like, okay, everyone, you know, I'm going to go find out what's in my lungs. They're giving me my results today. It was the day of the march.
Wow.
At the CNN building that morning, press is there, everything. And I said, I have to go find out what's in my lungs. My brother calls me and he's like, hey, what you doing? I said, I'm about to find out what's in my lungs. You don't want to stay on the phone? He's like, yeah, I'll stay on the phone. He's probably nothing. I was like, yeah. So the doctor comes in and he says, okay, I'm just going to just give it to you. And he was like, you have angiocarcinoma. And I screamed. Because it was, and it went back to the word that I got in the shower. And my whole life flashed before, and I saw my mother. I saw my mother, what she went through and how she handled it, like what she did. And the doctor said to me, he said, I know you're scared about your mother. He said, we have advanced so much with cancer that he said, cancer is not like a death sentence like it was. It's a lifestyle change. And then I was like, a lifestyle change. And I was just through it. And then they're calling me, we have to meet. So I'm like, I'm thinking work. I need to be there for the people. I'm going to go down to CNN building. And the minister calls me. He says, and I'm walking around trying to find my car. The sky looks bluer. The flowers look more beautiful, like everything looked like I had a new awakening of how to be present. Wow. How to be present for the first time. It was like, is this the last time I'm going to see this sky?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the last time I'm going to see these people? Like, that was the first, like when I came out that hospital and I said, I got to be there for these families. Is this the last time I'm going to be there for these families? that loss, because, you know, in the movement, we have these relationships with these families that lost their loved ones through police brutality. And I was like, and then the minister said to me, he said, I don't feel anxious. And I'm like, you don't? He says, no. He said, the hardest thing for you, because he's been through prostate cancer. He's 90 years old now, you know? He said, the hardest thing for you is going to be your mental. And I said, okay. So I go down, go to the protest, and I'm still like, did I just find out I got lung cancer? So I put myself in a, and you've seen me in these places where I go, I'm not in the front. I'm in the back. I don't want to be on the mic. I don't want to talk. I don't want to, you know, and next thing you know, it turns into an uprising. Like, it's on CNN. It's on, I mean, it was at the CNN building, but it was like a whole uprising.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, T.I. calls me. We got to get, I want you to meet with the mayor. And so I'm doing all this stuff behind the scenes. And this is going on for at least 3 weeks where Shar Brooks gets murdered. And I saw this happening, and they're burning down Wendy's. And it was heavy in my spirit. Leave Atlanta and go to the ocean. I drive through a small, like, hurricane. It looked like a hurricane, to the ocean in Miami. And I'm in that water, and I just pray. And I said, God, and I'm talking to every dolphin, everything that's in there. And I just like, God, heal my body. And that was the beginning of what I needed to do with loving me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started Revolutionary Healing.
So tell us about Revolutionary Healing.
So I'm watching our sister, Tamika, and everyone, Kimberly Jones, everyone is like, and I'm like, we're doing this, but I want to create an avenue because I can't be in Kentucky. I wanted to be in Kentucky. I wanted to be in Minneapolis. I was putting my health at risk because we're still in COVID. But then I'm thinking, I think I got this cancer from when I was on the front lines in Standing Rock. When they spraying us with tear gas and all the different chemicals and staying on land that had Rosol, which was killing the buffalo and everything. We was camping out on that land. So, and there was already 90 people that got diagnosed with various forms of cancer.
Wow.
And 10 people already died of cancer. So I'm like, I can't put myself in this on the front line no more. So I created Revolutionary Healing, which is, I was like, man, you know, In the Nation of Islam, there's a study guide, which is the basis of community development is self-improvement. And I just looked at that and I said, the basis of community development is self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this, but we're not doing enough of this. Mm-hmm. And how do I create a dope, fun, lit way that we could do this, where people that listen to City Girls, but then also, you know what I'm saying, want to listen to Andre 3000 flute music, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, and everyone could just come together where they're feeling seen with each other. And so it's an outdoor event. I always pick different locations in Georgia on the third Sunday of every month. And I have different people just come on different ways of self-improving. And they do these healing sessions with everyone.
That's dope. We got to come to one of your healing sessions.
Yes. Well, what I'm doing now is I took a pause on it for the past year because I'm now working on trying to open up a center.
So one of the things I'm hearing is even in you getting this diagnosis and everything you've been through, I don't see when have you stopped to love and take care of you.
Yeah.
You stop to create a program still for other people.
Good
for
catch.
Their healing. What have you done for you?
So I took a break. My last one was last November. Because I was at the event every year I do a Friendsgiving for this month. November is Native American Heritage Month. And so I was like a Friendsgiving. But then I was exhausted. I spent the whole year in the hospital. See, I'm an Aries. I'm God's stubborn, precious child. I'm hard headed. It's like I was like, man, you had to give me cancer in order for me to look at me. Not like this cancer could be killing me. I say that it's been saving my life.
So and it's stop, been stop right there for a second.
Yes.
So you stayed in the hospital for how long?
Man, all last year was in and out the hospital.
All right. So I know when I went to prison,
yes,
it wasn't about my crime per se, but it was the place that God used to get in touch with me, right? Mm-hmm. And although you hear him in the shower, sometimes he lays us down to raise us up. And I still hear with you the fight. The fight between the work for the people and the work for yourself.
Yeah.
It is no coincidence that you're sitting on the love couch. Because although you're doing so much for us, and you will go down in history as an activist, a change maker, a creative, so much change, especially for your people, right? Mm-hmm. So your legacy is already preserved. Yes. But your health, right? Mm-hmm. Your health. You still... It's the shirt. Matter of fact, we want you another one. We're going to go ahead and give you the shirt.
Early.
Right?
As much as you're loving all the you.
I want you to look at this shirt,
yes,
sis.
Yes.
This is a real place that you're still in right now. And Tara just pointed it out. Yeah. You still love it because you're a lover of people. Mm-hmm. That was you, what you was created to be, a lover of people. Yeah. You're loving them even more than loving you. Mm-hmm. And the thing we talked about is you have a beautiful son.
Yeah.
So gifted, so talented, so intelligent. Mm-hmm. And he needs his mama.
Yeah.
Because the thing about it is, if you left this earth today, you know, we know you got some friends and people and will help, but there's nobody that's going to give him like you give him.
Yes.
We need you here, sis.
Yeah.
We need you here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even those hospital trips, I was God saying, didn't I tell you to sit down? Mm-hmm. Sit still. Mm-hmm. Sit still. Sit still. And you and I, people like us, got to get careful because when we don't sit still, he will lay us down for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He will lay you down for real until you really, really, really sit still and know that he is God. Because for whatever reason, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what that is, but it's almost like an imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's just embedded in us because we know to just do and be and, you know, this is what we're taught. But then we...
Both of y'all are absolutely right.
I guess how we describe ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, like our worth is always tied up in what we have done for other people.
And then who
our
am
children,
I?
And our, yeah.
I think for me,
who am I outside of
that? That part. Because in the last 3 years, that has been my battle of who is this now?
Mm-hmm.
Who is this sit still, Yanaja?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my last hospital stay was last April. I was at Epcot Center. I took my son to my happy place is Disney.
I love Disney.
Oh my God, I love Disney. That's my happy place. So I was like, I need to go to my happy place. So I went to my happy place, Epcot, and I passed out. I fell, and it was just me and my son, and all I remember was me in the hospital, in the back of an ambulance. And I was like, do you all need my insurance? And I'm seeing my son eating pizza and he's on FaceTime with our emergency contact. Mm-hmm. They already had my, let me not cry. They already had my insurance card. They already had everything that they need. My son handled everything.
Oh, wow.
And I saw me when I would handle everything with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nope, I cannot do this with him. Like, I can't put him through this. So since April, my son is here on this trip with me. I've been pouring everything into my son.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I have a 22-year-old that's in jail. And he's been in and out of jail. Continues to go back to jail. And I spent this summer with him. He's back in jail again, but just trying to be mommy and be present with him. My 12-year-old, you know, he's like, mom, this is what I want to do. I'm like, okay, let me get you. He wants to do acting and dancing and singing and rapping and all of that. I'm like, all right. So my everything ever since I was in that hospital, it's been all about my children and about me being present for my children and my circles of friends. And what I realized in the movement is that I attracted entitled people. People that was like, I do this for you if you do this for me, you know, mm-hmm. and then you're supposed to call me because you've been, you know, answering my calls to be on to help me on this and that. And God has been releasing.
He'll do it.
All of those people.
So let's talk about your son.
Yes.
We haven't really even had this conversation.
Yeah.
What do you feel like is leading him back to, what was his life like growing up?
I was young and.
Was your mom?
My mom.
Present with him?
My mom was present with him all the way up until he was three. Okay. And that's when my mother passed. Wow. She was like, the best gift you gave me was to give me my first grandchild.
Wow.
And she named him Chiron, which means the healer in Greek. It's the Chiron. As a matter of fact, today is, I think, in the planets or something, we're in Chiron today.
So yeah. Do you feel like it was some form of trauma for him growing up? Like, because like you said, he keeps going back. Like, and I'm sure he's got to be gifted. Look at his lineage, right?
Yeah, he is.
Good person. What do you feel like is leading him back on a path that he doesn't have to take?
I had that.
His grandfather is Minister Farrakhan.
Yeah. His father is Mike Rashid, wow. who is a very well-known fitness guru guy. You know, he ended up moving with his dad when he was 12. He wanted to live with his dad. And then he came back to me when he was 17. And then he just went back to it. I mean, he just been, I asked him that. Because I'm like, you know, you want to like, what did I do wrong?
Right.
And he was like, Mom, you did nothing wrong. And I was like, no, I had to do something wrong. He said, you gave me everything. I just wanted to have fun. And I said, I didn't give you fun. Mm-hmm. He said, you did. I just wanted to live the world and do what I wanted to do. I just wanted to just do what I wanted to do. He also is battling a mental illness, mm-hmm. which is also very difficult to try to understand his method, you know?
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, in the past 2 years, he's been arrested 25 times. I know.
So now we're talking about everything, right? This is the stuff, man. Because you being the savior to the world, you helping and you organizing and you putting all this stuff together.
And he's obviously at some point it's on these front lines with you. So he sees.
Yeah. But look at the point that I'm making.
Yeah.
She's doing all of these things, but her own kids got issues, right? So it's like you're giving the world your soul, your spirit, your things and everything. But you are still hurting, right? And she said 25 times. So this is her baby. Mm-hmm. Every time that phone ring to tell her that. Do you understand how much more trauma this is causing this woman?
Yeah.
Right? And instead of dealing with the pain and grieving and going through her process, she's leading a march. She's rising up. She's helping the world to be a better place. But her whole insides are tore up. And so you know what that is? Because I know because I am it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to deal with my stuff, so I'm going to deal with everybody else's stuff.
That's right.
Sister Susie and them and everybody else, because I don't want to go in the mirror and deal with my own pain. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think about my mom, and I don't want to think about what's going on with my son, and I don't want to think about my health, because if I think about that, I'm going to be sad and depressed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just do whatever I got to do to keep me busy and keep me going.
Yeah.
And that's cute until it lands in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts breaking you down. Because the thing about it is, if we don't deal with it and face our demons and face the situations that we're going through, automatically the next place it goes is the body. And it eats on the body because we're not able to let it out. Yeah. So it's toxins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Toxins.
Yeah.
That are just staying inside. And they don't have a place to leave because we're not releasing them.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And Tara, this is a common thing in the movement.
Yeah.
They said Martin Luther King saying to everybody, these great, wonderful people, these leaders, these change makers, they doing everything for everybody else. But when it comes to their family itself, they're often not as present as they should.
And I saw that because I was in the room with Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, you know, Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, like everyone, Chief Ernie Longwalker, in the room with all of them. And I'm like, and so the cancer diagnosis was like, oh, I'm doing exactly what everyone before me did. I need to, it's a process. It's a process. It's a process to unpack 45 years of the movement of the world.
To focus on you.
It's, oh my God. And this is not like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, I saw Trayvon Martin and I want to be an activist. This is, I was literally born. Mm-hmm. And my mom was protesting, walking from Alcatraz, San Francisco to Washington, D.C. in order for us to get the Freedom of Religious Act. I was born at Howard University when it got to D.C. So I was all of that from what my mother had, you know, putting that into me while I'm in her womb, you know? So it's just all of that. So when they was like, oh, it's too many to count of how many cancer tumor cells you have in both of your lungs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, anger, sad, I started naming it the trauma, you know?
I guess the question with me that's in my head is, because you seem to be busy doing all of these things. So when do you remember even experiencing these things? Are you experiencing them and just packing them away, not even acknowledging them? Are you, at what moment do you just keep going and not just really think and consider you, your family, the importance of your family, and you just give all of that, I guess, to the movement? Like, is it just like... the comfortable space? Is it just you don't feel worthy that you deserve the love and things that you should give yourself? Yeah. Like, walk us to what is that?
It's been this year. Okay. This year for the first time that I had to, it was hard to say no. And I'm no on a lot of things. No, I cannot go to that protest. No, we've been fighting against Cop City in Atlanta, Georgia. No, I can't be there. Mm-hmm. I can't. I had to finally put myself in a place of, I'll be there as an auntie or someone like now auntie of the movement, mm-hmm. you know, but I cannot be on the front lines. I won't be on the mm-hmm. front. I can't put myself in that situation. I've lost 3 of my closest friends this year to cancer. These were like mm-hmm. my cancer circle of friends. I didn't even go to their funerals. Because I was like, I can't put myself in that situation. I've been first time this year out of this whole thing to say, no, I have to put myself in positive places to be in.
Can I just ask you a question? That cancer circle.
Yeah.
When you guys united and talked about your situation, what was the common denominators amongst your friends that you lost?
Live life to the fullest.
No, not that part. Yeah. I'm talking about, did you see that y'all had some similarities in behaviors and patterns and lifestyles? Mm-hmm. Or did you ever even talk about that?
I think, because we all grew up together, but they were in different space. I think what it was is that, like, they already was in a place to choose them. Mm-hmm. And I was just coming into, like, what? Oh, now I get why you know what I'm saying? Like, why you're choosing you. Now I get why you went to go do whatever you want to do, whether it's skiing or going to Japan or, you know, these things. I get it. And I think we talked a lot more of how people view people with cancer and in how we lost friends and family in regards to our circle getting smaller and how that looks. We talked about that because I love people, and you know that.
Mm-hmm. I love them too much.
Yeah, yeah. And I love friends, and I love to be loved. Of course, we love to be loved. Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest thing for me was, like, losing my friends. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say losing. I want to say a different path. Mm-hmm. You know, just going on a different path. Because I was like, man.
You're still being strong.
So strong.
Yeah, it's in me. It's you.
You still standing here on this strong shit, sis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm bucking because I'm like, you lost your mother.
Yeah.
The closest person to you that you just took literally after her DNA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You watched your friends, you got diagnosed, and you still standing strong. And I don't want you to be weak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that strength, I don't want it to be the death of you.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so concerned about what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole conversation, I've never heard you say you. I mean, yourself.
Yeah.
But you still not being all the way present for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like what they taught us. Okay, the body is dead. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to bury it and move on. And, oh, this happened. Yeah. So it's almost like you're desensitized.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anything can happen. We're watching George Floyd, Breonna Taylor. It happened yesterday. Okay, today we're going to stand. Today we're going to march. Today, like, but yeah. what about you?
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I don't even know what that looks like. And I've been trying to figure that out. Like I said, baby steps. Like, for me to say no
is a big deal.
Oh, my God.
No.
For me to not, like, reply back to a text, to call people back, is a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hardest thing for me. So it's baby steps. For the first time in July, I said, wow, I love me.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, like genuinely loving me to the point where I don't want to be in a relationship to think that a relationship is going to make me feel good. For the first time, I said, man, I love me. And I love the single me.
Mm-hmm.
I love me. Mm-hmm. And that I never, ever felt that. So it's baby steps.
I got okay. you. But since yeah. you need some accountability partners,
yeah.
and now I'm going to step up and be a better friend,
yeah, thank you.
Because I'm concerned. And yeah. I think even after you rewatch this video, like you're amazing. You're a trooper. Yeah. But since we don't need you to be a martyr, mm-hmm. we don't need you to be a martyr. We need you here. We need you alive and well. And I feel like even just those last deaths, it's too much.
Mm-hmm. My uncle passed away yesterday.
And you're here today with us.
Right.
And you ain't tell me, though.
I was going to tell you, can we reschedule? But then once again,
I was like, you ain't tell me, no. But not for a selfish reason.
Yeah.
But because we got to put that love back on you, sis.
And I was like, no, I need my love for my sister.
Yo, that's what's up.
That's why I was like, I need to be here.
So let me just tell you about I Love Me More, because you don't know about it, right? This journey with me and Tara has been, it started in 2019. We started to talk to women who were victims of domestic violence. So like you, out here doing the work, trying to help somebody else, when I had to look at myself and say, I'm also one of these women that I'm talking about, I'm trying to help, right? And I started to have to heal, because this is before Angela. I was in a very, very toxic relationship. And I had to get away from that. And I watched Tara in her situation, right? Going through her stuff. And we started healing. And we started saying, I love me more. It was an affirmation that we began to use, right? To stand up. And say, I thought not no more. I love me more. I love you, baby. Because I'm a people lover too. So I love you, baby. Mm-hmm. But if I gotta choose, I love me more. So we say it today, right, Tara?
We do say it today, yes.
Baby, you see the shirt.
And she says it to me when I forget. She's like, if I gotta choose between you and somebody else, it's gonna be you. You know, it's like the constant reminder. You know, even if we're talking and I say something, she's putting me back on track, you know, and to just look at myself, remember myself and just everything that we've been through here, from relationships to not just intimate relationships, but family, coworkers. I mean, all of it, you know, you have to heal from all of it, because we're introduced to this stuff around the world in our everyday lives, you know?
That's real. And you got to do the work.
Yeah.
So we created this book, and we're going to gift you.
Oh, thank you.
All right?
Thank
you. We're going to give you the course. We want
you
to come and join the community. The healing process is not just reading or hearing. It's constantly doing the work.
Yes.
So in our book, what we have developed is what's called growth work. Yeah. And growth work is the introspective, like, where did I start this?
Yeah.
When did this happen? It's really looking at the things, and we pinpoint you to those places and spaces, and not just in intimate partnerships, but in friendships.
Yeah.
I heard you say about your friend. We could have went a whole episode into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Loving people more than they loved you.
Yeah.
Giving people more than they gave you.
Yeah.
When did that start, and why? Because you got to go back to the root to cut and deal with that thing so you can really heal. And then now you got to break a whole lifestyle. Yeah. It's no different than being an addict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The difference with an addict is addict can say, oh, hold up, I got a drug problem.
Yeah.
This, because it looks so glamorous,
right.
I left the world.
It's addicting.
Yeah.
It's addicting to help people. Mm-hmm. It's addicting to just, it could be addicting to march.
Yeah. It's like when they locked me up and threw away the key and they said, yo, rehabilitate.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw somebody in jail and you like, you know, you got a release date. And now so to come home and I'm be wiser, better person. How can I be better when you've never taught me
that part?
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's cool to say, okay, I'm going to love me more and I'm going to love blah, blah. But if you don't really know how to do that, mm-hmm. how can you really change?
Yeah.
And I had to find the tools. I really had to understand the things and like what's necessary. And mm-hmm. affirmation is cool, but it's not just that. It's constantly mm-hmm. doing a check, mm-hmm. constantly being your own accountability partner to really look and analyze, because you got to change your mindset yeah. in order to change your life.
Yeah.
Because now you have made it a habit to be a savior. Because mm-hmm. you've been expected to be that. Because
yeah.
mama was that. You know, grandpa's that. Auntie and uncles in the whole community is that.
Yeah.
So you've been taught a lifestyle. So in order to do something different, you have to make a real serious mental shift.
Yeah.
And you're going to need some tools to constantly mm-hmm. do that. You need a community to constantly really do that.
I've been looking for different things to do. So I purposely put myself... Like, I go to Comic-Con, me and my son, we dress up in cosplay. I collect toys now. You know, I do different things that is totally different than how I was raised. I don't, you know, I don't watch the news like that, like I was. You know, I was always like, what's happening? Oh, this, you know. Now my whole thing is like food and, you know, and going out. And then plus, I always go, I connect to the land a lot. You know, that's the native in me. You know, I've been going back home to the reservation like twice. I took Kyrie Irving there recently, you know, and we went on to the Sweat Lodge ceremony and just to get back into that. And more so, I think this year has been a lot about connecting with my family to see me. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I saw my aunts and I saw one of my aunts lost two of her daughters to missing and murdered Indigenous women, meaning that some human sex trafficking or human trafficking and murdered and we could not find them. And the way she says it is like...
But just the way that you said it.
The same way I said it.
Literally every hair on my arm just stood up on both arms.
Yeah.
And you just continued.
Yeah. I just saw this last month with my aunts. And I said, that's where I get it from. Because my tribe is a matriarchal society, meaning that the women are in power and leadership positions. So it's been strong matriarch women, you know, and I'm like, oh my, that's where I get this from. I need to, when I'm sharing something traumatic, I need to probably sit in that, really sit in there, not just like, oh yeah, I have stage 4 lung cancer. And so yesterday I was da-da-da-da-da-da, because I noticed I do that.
That was crazy.
Because it was, so this is, like I said, please give me grace, Jamila.
No, it's okay.
But
I want to tell you, you're one of the strongest, dopest people that I know. So that you get, but I'm just thinking about universal principles and the law of attraction, right?
Yeah.
The more of a thing that we allow to happen or things happen, the more it's going to come. So if I'm hearing about tragedy all day long and I'm working on the tragedy, I'm breeding an atmosphere for tragedy, because that's a universal principle. Yeah. That's why it's so important to put in good. So I love the fun stuff. So it's like you figured it out. It's like you got it, but you just got to keep spinning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you gotta fun, do it. Love, do it. Joy, happiness, strength. Like it's almost like, yo, you got to repeat, because this leadership role, it's like set you up to be the sacrificial lamb.
It is. And it was, you know, me and Tara was getting our makeup done. And I was telling her, because I watched her on Love & Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. My ex-husband is a rap artist as well. And I went through exactly similar thing that Tara went through. And probably what you also went through as well, what you shared.
Just throw that in there very casually too.
I'm just like,
And I was telling, I was
now. And what you saying, 200.
Yeah.
200 things in your lungs, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then when I left that marriage, it was these little things it was, okay, let me stay out past 8 o'clock. So he does, you know, because it was like, if I stayed out past 8 o'clock, I was accused of cheating. Mm-hmm. So when I left him, it was like purposely, I'm gonna stay out past 8 o'clock. And I would start shaking and wondering, oh my, even though I'm not with him, it's those things, those mm-hmm. triggering things. But it was, I had to break through all of that to be able to like, oh, and it was getting nice things in the house. Like, I mean, I'm talking about like making my bedroom, you know, all pretty and pretty and not neutral. It was, I'm going to sleep in and not have to wake up before our son, or I was going to get yelled at for being a lazy mother. So I'm, you know, like, it was like, no, I'm not lazy. I'm going to stay up. I mean, I'm going to stay in the bed and just stay in the bed because mm-hmm. I'm not a lazy mother.
Mm-hmm. Baby, you know, we can do this all day with you.
Yes.
Now you're pulling out a whole nother lane.
Just pulling out a whole other thing.
But you always came there and missed.
I did. Yeah.
Replaced.
Yeah.
So it's just continuously doing mm-hmm. the work.
Yes.
With them 200,
yes.
That was God's way of saying, baby, you got to, just like you face that, you got to deal with all these other things.
Yeah.
And then when you have somebody telling you, yo, you're not good enough and you're lazy and you're this and you're a cheater and you all these things and blah, blah, you almost start feeling like you're that. So now you're trying to go out your way to show. It's mm-hmm. it's too much.
Too much.
Yeah. It's too much. You just need a minute to be you, to do you, to love on you like it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
So I want you to make me a commitment.
Yes, ma'am.
That you're going to do everything in your power mm-hmm. to love yourself more. Will you do that?
I will.
Tara, will you grab her hand on the other side? All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to say on a count of three, I love me more. But we're going to be talking to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes.
Not to each other,
yes.
but to ourselves. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. On a count of three. One, two, three.
I love me more.
A little louder.
I love me more.
With passion.
I love me more.
Studio audience, join us.
Mm-hmm. I love me more.
We gonna do this, y'all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And every day, we got to make a commitment to each other,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to be our own accountability partners
yes.
that we really got to do this with. Because if we don't, we're going to be gone, y'all. Oh, yes. And who's going to be here to raise our babies?
Yes. Yeah.
Who's going to be here to really take? Because people say they'll do it, you know, but we know when we go, mm-hmm. nobody's going to do what we would do.
Yeah, that's
and the
right.
only
yes.
way we can do for them, if yes. we put on that oxygen mask mm-hmm. on ourselves, and force ourselves to look ourselves in the mirror and say, I love me more.
Yes.
And then we start doing that inner work.
Yes.
Everyday self-care routine. What mm-hmm. does your self-care routine look like, sis?
I wake up in the morning. Okay, not a school day or a school day.
See? That messed it all up because...
So what day of the week are we talking about?
It's not matter. You
yeah.
see? So that's all right. Because it don't matter. Because you can't love your child more either.
Yes.
Because we say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, baby, I die for you. I love you more than no, baby, I love you.
Yeah.
But I gotta love me more if I really love you. You know mm-hmm. why? Because if I love you more than I love me, I'm gonna mess you up. Because I'm not gonna have the things I need for me to make sure I'm the best version of me for you.
But it's also important for our children to see that. And, you know, you're repeating what you've seen your mom do. And then you don't want that for your children. You want him to know, well, both of them to learn how to love themselves and not put the world ahead of them.
Yeah.
I mean, because the world is a big place. That's a lot of people until you get back to yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a real place.
Yeah. Shamar put me in check yesterday. He was like, Mom, you haven't paid attention to me this whole day. Because, you know, we did a media run this whole time I've been here. And he was all like, I need you to, you know, lock in with me. So
lock in.
Yeah, he does. He's like, he holds.
He's checking you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And guess what?
Yeah.
We're going to be your accountability partners, too.
Yeah.
And so is our community, all right?
Yes. Yeah.
So at blackwomenslivesmatter.com, that's our community where we share, where we love on each other. And we're going to bring you into the community.
Thank you.
We're going to hold you as each other's accountability partners, as we begin to love on ourselves more. And we're going to continue this conversation because this is a real thing. Yeah. So, y'all, you know we got to pay these good bills. So let's take a moment to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be back. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis, and I got a special offer for you, right? It's my gift from me to you. You want to level up? You want to manifest the life of your dreams? Well, I'm going to give you a piece of the plan, right? It starts with my Manifested Now vision plan. So follow me. It's actually the template that I use each and every year to get into my goals, my dreams. And unlike a vision board, I actually put this document on paper with goals and dreams and plans of who I want to be and what I want to become. And now you could do it too. It's time to level up, y'all. It's time to be the best you that you can possibly be. And I'm going to give you the plan. And best of all, I'm going to give it to you for free. Click the link right here. Download today and level up. Make sure you share the results with me. This is the exact plan that I've been doing for the last 4 years, and each and every year is taking me higher and higher, and I pray it does the same for you.
Welcome back to I Love Me More, and now we're at the I Love Me More lightning round. Now,
yes, let's lighten it up a bit.
Okay. We have to get you thinking. So I had to really think about questions that are going to make you think, because it's a lot of you. It's always other people and not you.
Yes.
So I want to know, by the way, you have a few seconds to answer each question.
Okay.
Okay.
So not a whole long time. Okay. Yes. Got to spit this.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right.
What's your secret talent?
I can roll my tongue.
You said quick. I like.
A movie that makes you cry.
The Lion King.
You've never watched the movie. Uh-huh. Okay.
The Lion King.
This is very good. No, I'm just joking. And something that you, what do you want to be known for?
Oh man, that's a good one. Okay, I know. Being a good friend.
Mm-hmm. And what do you want your children to know you for?
Being a good mother. I tried my best.
Thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Good.
So for our viewers that want to know more about you, your movement, what you're doing, and what you're into, where can they catch you at?
Don't put no more work on me. After this, I'm like, I'm done.
Y'all heard it.
But where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find
me.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. QueenYonasDha.com. That's Queen, YonasDha.com. And I'm the only Yonasdha in the world. Anything that's negative, please ignore it. Just follow all the positive stuff.
I know that's right. And y'all, we're going to bring her to our community.
Thank you.
And she's going to be a part of us, right, as you are. So we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for loving yourself more, because that's what this podcast is all about.
Yes.
We got more fun coming up this week. We got secret things that we want to talk to you about that we're not telling everybody about. But you know how you got to find us? In the community, baby. So come on, come on, come on. Check out your phones right now, www.blackwomenslivesmatter.com. And if y'all know what I know, it's going down. See you soon.
Or click the link in the description.
You heard her. And it's going down, baby. We'll see you next time.
On the next episode of I Love Me More podcast.
We have our good dear friend on today, Dr. Mita Montana. Give it up.
I come from back in the days when music was real music.
How does someone who's so behind the scenes, because you've been behind the scenes for 30 years and you could have been in the front of the scenes.
The reason why I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do Love & Hip Hop is because I've been behind the scenes and I've been trying to do it the right way. And people don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. They don't want to give you a break until they see you on TV. She seeked me out, I would say, to be my friend. I ended up being friends with her for years. I ended up finding out that she was sleeping with my husband.
Your history is not something that we could ever take away. It is your past. Mm-hmm. It doesn't define your present.
Everybody deals with healing a different kind of way. My healing was that when me and him broke up, I had to pick up my life and figure out how to survive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.